Shabbat shalom to everyone. What an amazing God we serve. Isn't he good to us?
Amen.
We'd like to say how happy we are to have everyone here this morning. We pray the blessings of God be upon your life richly, that your life will just be fulfilled this morning. I'd like to start off this morning by having all the ministers stand. If you minister in your church, would you stand? Stay standing. Just want to make sure I get a good look at everybody.
Hallelujah.
Now I want the rest of the ministers to stand.
Come on.
The rest of the ministers to stand. You have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Who is that? Now I want the rest of the ministers to stand. Now I want the rest of the ministers to stand. Why? Because you have been given the ministry, that's what he called it, of reconciliation. Now I want the rest of the ministers to stand. See, knowing who you are matters. And if you don't feel like you have a job in the church, you don't have one. And you act like you don't have one. If you don't have a job in the family, you act like you don't have a job in the family.
Yes.
You have no responsibility. That's how you conduct your life.
Hallelujah.
Because you don't see that there, you're that person. But you got to realize who you are. When he looks at you and sees you, he says, I've given you, that's the entire body, the ministry of reconciliation.
Hallelujah.
The ability to bring God to man and man to God.
Yes.
That's all of us in this place. So now that we know that, you can kind of tell where we're going to go this morning. So you can take your seats. I just wanted to make sure everybody here knew who I was talking to. We're going to pull a text from Judges this morning. Now, there's a reason God has done all this.
Yes.
Not we can't do this.
Yeah.
There's a reason he put all this together, and we need to tap in to that reason, that way we can be fulfilling the position that we have. And everybody here, as we started out, knows you have a position.
Yeah.
You might not be speaking today, but you're speaking. You speak with your presence.
Yes.
You speak with, when you arrive, without your mouth opening, stuff starts ministering to people just by your presence. Why? Because we have been given that ministry, every one of us. When you go and visit your family, you know, we call it this Family and Friends Day, right? When you go visit your family and you visit them and they're not believers, you're acting like you're standing in the pulpit.
Yeah.
And so whatever they're doing, because they're not believers, you're not doing.
Hallelujah.
Because you're standing here.
Yeah.
We don't see that. We just see the guy that's here. And some say, I'm glad he's got it. But I'm here to tell you, you have it.
Yeah.
Every one of you have been given this ministry. Every one of you. And so we serve a great God. Today's title is Mighty in Calling, When Elohim Refines You. How many know he wants to refine us?
Amen.
Mighty in Calling, When Elohim Refines You. If you look at Judges, we'll start with verse 11. Judges 6, 11. The text says, and the messenger of Jehovah came and sat under the Tabith tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress to hide from the eyes of the Midianites. So we read this first verse, we already see there's some issues here.
Yes.
Right.
We have a believer hiding. Is that what we've been given? Is the ministry of hiding?
No.
I don't think we started out that way, right? We're not given the ministry of hiding. Yet many times it's safer.
Yes.
It's safer to get behind somebody and just not say anything. But we never step into what God has for us. Can you imagine what happens to every church represented here today? What happens when you all step up to the ministry that God has placed on your life, and you all step up with authority, you all step up with the Word of God flowing out of you like rivers of living water?
Hallelujah.
You ever thought what would happen?
Hallelujah.
It would be life-changing for your community.
Yeah.
But before life can change in the community, life has to change in the church.
Yeah.
The assembly has to change. And so today, our goal is that we embrace what He said about us, not what we say about ourselves. And so we notice that something kind of sets the tone for the story. This is not a story about Gideon. We've heard that story. But the text is telling us some interesting things here. The messenger sits under the terebinth tree. The terebinth tree, if you look at it in the ancient pictograph, it's an olive and a lament.
Yes.
Elah. An olive and a lament. It literally means the strong authority. So he's telling us up front, when we read this story about Gideon, first of all, God sets the tone, we don't. How many understand that? He sets the tone of how we to receive the text.
Yes.
You can pick and choose however you want to do it, but if you read carefully when you start your first verse, he's going to set the tone on how we'd approach this story of Gideon. We don't want to have a story about Gideon told the same way in our entire life, do we?
Correct.
Let God set the tone, and he sets the tone by making sure we understand this event happened under the terebinth tree. Now, how do you know that's frequent in the text?
Yes.
The terebinth tree is frequent. Many times God met people under the terebinth tree because he's trying to let them know that what I'm about to tell you needs to be received with strong authority. Needs to be understood the strong authority in this message. So the message that Gideon's story tells, do we receive that message with strong authority? Because what we need as ministers is strong authority.
Hallelujah.
Not a passive attitude. We have to have strong authority. We don't want to believe what Satan said about our inabilities. We want strong authority when we're going to present the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Especially if you go a different place.
Yes.
How many of you ever traveled missionaries been in third world countries? You go to third world countries, there's demons everywhere.
Yes.
You go in there with a passive attitude, they're going to eat your lunch. Ain't nobody listening to the nonsense that spews out of the mouth of people in the Western civilization.
Yes.
They're dealing with real demonic influences constantly, every day of their life.
Hallelujah.
You got to go in there with the authority of the Word of God. And so here, that God is setting the tone of this story. He's saying that this meeting happened under the terebinth tree, which is Allah. And so it's the olive and the lament. Very important that we understand when you combine them two again, strong authority, and it can be anyone or thing of strong authority. Anyone. How many want strong authority when you share the gospel with your family that's lost?
Amen.
How many want strong authority when you're praying about being healed?
Yes.
I mean, we're digging for it, right? We're digging for it. Sometimes we can't find it. You're sick unto death. You have to have strong authority when you pray. What about if you believe in God for a financial breakthrough?
Hallelujah.
See, we want it when we need it. But God declares that we're ministers of reconciliation. And so if I'm conducting my life with strong authority, God is, I'm allowing him in to do the work that he wants to do. When I go out, it's going to flow out of me like a river. The Bible says, if you believe as the scripture said, out of your innermost being, out of the place where the birthing happens, where vision is cast, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Is that not what we need? Now, we know about rivers down here in the south. If you jump over this levee, you're in it. I mean, you're right there by it. The Mississippi River, it runs, and it runs hard. It's raging, especially in high river. That thing's swiftly passing through there. So we know what a river can do. If they don't protect these banks, the river just go wherever it wants because this water is so powerful. Well, God don't want to give you a drip. Just enough. He wants to open up an avenue for you that'll change your life forever. And that can't happen if you don't believe you can receive it. Remember, receiving is an act of your own will. You have to reach out, grab hold to it, and pull it in. If you don't receive it, nobody can receive it for you. It's an act of your own will. Reach out, grab hold to it, and pull it in. And hold it tight, because the enemy is out to make you fumble. He don't want you to receive today. The Bible talks about the sower goes to sow the seed. And the sower is not a problem with the sower. Who's the sower? Who's the sower? That's right. See, we don't operate in strong authority yet because we whisper the answer because maybe it's not right. Who's the sower? What's the seed?
We are.
What's the seed? The word. Now, you are in this story. You're the ground. It's either going to be good ground or thorny ground. It's going to be one of them. Nobody can prepare your ground for you. You have to get up this morning, pull the tiller out, and get after it. It's your job to do that. It's called administering. See, you're all in the ministry. Every angle you look at, you're in the ministry. You're taking care of you. God provides the anointing. We provide the administration. God provides the anointing. We provide the administration. Very important to understand about God, because this is valuable to you. If you're not administering the Word of God, if you're not administering through prayer, if you're not administering these things throughout the week, when the Word comes, it's going to be tough. It can be difficult. When you have the witness to your lost family, it's going to be difficult. When you have to walk upright, when everybody's just doing what they want, it's going to be difficult because you have to administer. He provides the anointing. There's nothing we can do about the anointing. He's the one that provides that. Unless he provides the anointing, there's no anointing. You can't preach on charisma alone.
Yes.
You might be good, but you're not that good. Eventually, it catches up with you and runs you over. But when you have the anointing of God on your life, it's with you every day and it's refreshing every single day. Now, to get the anointing, you first have to be crushed. You have to go to the olive press.
Yes.
And you have to be crushed. You have to go to Gethsemane. Why do you think Yeshua went to Gethsemane right before he died? Gethsemane means the olive press. Why do you think he went there? Because he had to be the vessel to hold the pure anointing that could be distributed to the rest of the world, and you and I are part of the rest of the world.
Amen.
I thank God that he said, Father, not what I want, but your will be done. With strong authority, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass, but not my will, your will be done. And he gave his life for all of humanity. And that anointing is still as strong as it was in Gethsemane as it is here today.
Amen.
We got to reach out and grab hold to it and let it receive it. Amen? And so we see this in this particular story about Gideon. Verse 12. And the messenger of Jehovah appeared to him and said to him, Jehovah is with you, you mighty brave one. Notice what he's doing to Gideon. What is Gideon's position? He's hiding and he's in fear. What's the difference between a wine press and a threshing floor for wheat? Big difference. One is above ground. The wheat is above ground. Because you need the air to blow the chaff away. It needs to be exposed. You're going to be seen threshing wheat. What that Gideon is doing, he's threshing wheat in the winepress, underground. It's a tub. It's where everybody's walking around, getting the grapes. They're squeezing grapes. He's under. There's no wind. There's no exposure. He's hiding. The big difference. So your life is being conducted. You either at the threshing of the wheat, the wheat, or you're threshing wheat in a winepress. And I don't want to be threshing wheat in the winepress. They're used for two different things. But Gideon's there because there's an enemy. How many of you know about enemies? We're familiar with enemies.
Yes.
Some people are familiar with enemies because some of your family's enemy.
Yes.
And some of you just got real enemies. I don't know how you got them, but you just got them. And some people just got the enemy. No matter which one you got, it's destroying you if you believe what they say. It's what you've been telling yourself that's destroying you. And sometimes the enemy in us is the one destroying us. And we listen to outside voices that have nothing to do with what God's vision and plan for our life is.
Yeah.
Nothing whatsoever. You remember the woman who was struggling? Her sons had been taken. And there was a debt owed. And all she had was a little jar of oil.
Yes, sir.
The man of God came there and said, listen, I know you're struggling. He didn't reach in his pocket and pull out a gift for her and could have got her sons back. No. He says, go tell your sons to go borrow vessels.
Yes, correct.
Go out there and collect as many as you possibly can.
Hallelujah.
And then when you get those vessels and you go inside, shut the door.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because you can be affected by an outside influence that's telling you, you can't, you'll never be, you'll never go anywhere. That's what happens sometimes. We got to close the door. Sometimes you steal away somewhere in a secret place and pray.
Yes.
Have a breakthrough with God. Can you remember the last time you had a breakthrough?
Yes,
where the anointing, you knew it came. You felt the warmth of that oil become, like the Bible says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil that is upon the head that runs down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that goes down to your skirt. You know, I was just meditating on that this morning, because our gathering is sort of like that, right?
Yes.
Brethren coming together, and we're dwelling together in unity. And so I asked God, I said, Lord, what's the message? What's the message for the group that's going to be here? What is it? And God, by the way, I always tell God, I don't have to bring the message. You can bring, anybody can bring the message. But God, if you want me to bring the message, you got to speak to me. You got to speak to my heart. I got to know with 100% certainty this is your word for this hour.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to just be up here talking to you.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we talk because we can. And I can talk. Everybody knows that. But I'm not here just to talk. I'm here to deliver the message that God has for us. We have to redefine who we are.
Amen.
Now, we just started in our new series of verses. We just finished Bereshit, all 50 chapters, verse by verse. Took us 2.5 years. And we just went into Shemot. Now I know most of us know it as Exodus.
Yes.
But that's misleading right up front.
All right.
It's telling you the whole book is about the Exodus in Greek. That's not what it's about. It's about names. It's about who you are.
Yes, sir.
The whole book.
Yeah,
but you don't have the accident. You have that. You get there. You can shout when you get there, but you're not there yet. You're in chapter 1, verse 1. It's about names.
Right.
You shout when you get there, but they're still there, and he's trying to let them know who they are. You know, you want to know why I'm getting you out of here? Because of who you are.
Yes.
You know why God does stuff for you? Because of you. Because
yes.
He loves you and he cares about you. When you start figuring out who you are, it moves him. He wants to position you. When you figure out who you are, it excites God. Finally, they're getting who they are.
Yes.
He made you better than you're living up to. The messenger of Jehovah appeared to him and said to him, Jehovah is with you, you mighty brave one. That's interesting. He calls him a brave one. And King James says, you mighty man of valor.
Yes.
You may be more familiar with that. But you see, you mighty brave one. It's amazing that here's a guy hiding in a wine press threshing wheat. And God sees him as a mighty brave one. Do you think he sees himself as a mighty brave one? Not at all. So how do you see yourself today? How do you see yourself? I can tell you how God sees you. He sees you in a way that he had this message laid out for you today so you can really find out how he looks at you. He calls you a mighty brave one. So who's the mighty brave one? Not the first group that stood up.
Yes, sir.
I had to keep asking. All the ministers. All the ministers.
Yes.
Finally, it's like pulling teeth. I finally got everybody to stand up.
Hallelujah.
Everybody. Listen, well, you might just, I'm just a mom in here. But guess what? You wake up every day, you ministering to your children.
Yes.
You're teaching them what's right and what's not right. You're teaching them. You say, I'm just a guy, you know, I go to work. You're a husband. You're ministering to your wife. You're ministering to your children. You understand that? If you have a brother or sister, you're ministering to them. So you have to understand the position you have is valuable to God and the kingdom. And if we all working at the same time and we're putting on it, then nothing can stop us. Do you realize the song says, do you imagine what type of faith is in this room?
Hallelujah.
There's absolutely nothing that we can't accomplish working together. We're not here just to come and eat each other's food. We're not here to come and sing songs to one another. You know, we're here to pull together. We're here to build the kingdom. We're here to allow the presence of the anointing of God to rest on us. Why? Because the anointing is what destroys yokes and removes burdens. And most of the world is eat up with yokes and burdens. That's what was going on in the lives of the children of Israel. They were yoked heavily. Do you understand? Genesis 50 ends. Joseph's dead. 300 about three. I'm going to say about because you'll be checking me on this. About 320 years passed for Exodus 1.
Okay.
So there's some time.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it's like we have this law. And then we talk about the children of Israel again, the names that's listed in verse 2 and 3, those names in Shemot. When we get there, what happens is he's telling us, I didn't forget about them. It looks like you forgot about them. Just like God never forgot about you. Maybe you've been waiting. You know, in American society, we don't like to wait over a couple minutes. I mean, we go to a restaurant, and I ordered 20 minutes ago. My God, I don't know if I'm coming back here. I'm going to write a bad review. Because when we want it now. We like that commercial, J.G. Wentworth, whatever it is. We want it now. That's how we operate. You know, the stove's been there all my life when I was a kid. You know, there was a stove. You put it on, right? And when I was a kid, we put our stove on with a napkin. Mm-hmm. You know, you light the napkin, you got to get your stuff right.
Yeah, you
remember that?
Yes, sir.
Now, we don't want to wait for the stove to heat the pot up. We put it in the microwave.
Yes,
we want it right now.
Instant.
We want it instant. And we take all that understanding and we got to bring it to the Word of God and we think that's how God should do for us.
Yes.
I want to ask you something. When year 100 after Joseph's death passed, do you think the children of Israel were still on his mind? What about year 200? You think they're still on his mind? We're all on his mind. But God's not going to move until he gets ready to move. His time and his perfect timing.
Yes.
When he does what he does, nothing can stop it. All hell can stand up against it. It can't stop when heaven says yes.
Hallelujah.
It can't stop it.
Yes.
So you know what I like to tell people? You got to get ready for what you've been praying for.
Right.
You got to get ready for what you've been asking God for because nothing can stop it. If heaven said yes, it's yours already.
Hallelujah.
And that takes faith. Now, once it comes, anybody can shout when the doctor's report says you're cured.
Yes. Come on.
Anybody can shout when your bank account, the digits are reading different.
Sunshine. Come on.
Anybody can shout when stuff's happened already. But that don't take faith. That's just logic. I mean, you see it and it's there, so it makes you shout. What about if you shout when your wallet's empty?
Come on.
What about when you shout when you got a bad report from the doctor? Can you do that? Because you know who you are in him, and he knows your name.
Hallelujah.
He knows your name.
Hallelujah.
And Gideon said to him, "Oh, my master, if Jehovah is with us, why has all this come upon us?"
Yes.
I understand what you're saying, but if he's with us, where are all the miracles he's talking about?
Yes.
You know, we want to see it. We want to see it, but can we shout before we see it?
Hallelujah.
Can we give him a praise before it happens?
Hallelujah.
If you know who you are, if he's your father and you're his son, you ought to act like a son.
Yes.
Sometimes we act like heaven went bankrupt. There's nothing left. God ain't got nothing to give me. I'm all out here by myself. See, for years, our church kind of thought that. We over here in the way down south. I mean, you go a little further than this, you got to get a boat.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's all that's left, huh?
We down here.
Yes, sir.
You didn't come by. You came to us. So you're kind of out there on this peninsula, this peninsula out here sticking out in the Gulf, and you start to think, well, God, all these years it's been going on. You know, this January we'll celebrate our 40th year church here.
Hallelujah.
So you start asking God, Lord, we've been here 40 years. When are we going to have that breakthrough? We've been praying it. We've been believing you. When it's going to happen? And you start to think, well, heaven must have run out of something. It's empty. Shelves are empty. Heaven ain't got nothing for us. And then we're praying and asking God, and God, what do we need to do? He said, well, first of all, you need to change some of the things you're doing.
Yes.
Made those changes, and we think, wow, we're ready now. And it's still waiting, waiting. And then God, all of a sudden, he causes this.
Amen.
Yes. To see our approach, our attitude. This is small compared to what he's going to do. This is just a drop in the bucket. Because once you figure out who you are, and you start receiving the stuff that heaven's already said yes on, I want to tell you, the vats have been opened. He says, when you do what he's asked you to do, he said, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You don't even have room enough to receive it.
Hallelujah.
And so you got to get ready for that. You got to prepare yourself for what heaven, can heaven do it?
Yes.
Can he do it?
Yes.
If he can, we ought to act like he can.
Yes.
So Gideon's having trouble here. He says, why has all this come on us? And where are all the wonders which our fathers related to us, saying, did not Jehovah bring us up from Mitzrayim, but now Jehovah has left us and given us into the hand of Midian? What was Midian doing? What Midian was doing, they were smart. The Midianites were smart. They let them. They wouldn't take the field. They let them have the field. They wouldn't take the seed. Let them have the seed. They let them have the oxen, the plows. That's all yours. They let them plant. They just wait for the harvest.
Yes.
When the harvest come, they go and take the harvest. They weren't dumb. They were going to let them keep doing it. Now they were afraid to lose their lives. But they were not realizing, who's with them? Who's with Gideon?
Yes.
The Most High. He's with him. And so Midian's smart. They taking the stuff right when it's, you know, after you've picked all the weeds and chased all the bugs away, and you've sweat over it, and the harvest time comes, they take the harvest. The wagons are full of the harvest. They steal the wagons. And so Gideon's hiding. He said, I got to bring some food home. I got to do something. I got kids, they're starving. I got to get some food home. So you can see his predicament. He's in trouble. So he's legitimately asking this. And Jehovah turned to him and said, now I want you to notice, we have the messenger of Jehovah. Now the text is saying in Jehovah. Because that's how the scripture works. God, again, is using a messenger to represent him. And then, all of a sudden, it's this face-to-face kind of conversation. Because it says, and Yehovah turned to him and said, go in this strength of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Who in here who stood earlier is sent?
Hallelujah.
Who, when they all stood up, who sent?
Hallelujah.
See, it's not good enough for me to know the answer. You got to know the answer. I didn't preach this to myself.
Yes, sir.
So I ever preached it here.
Yes.
I was walking and say, God, if I'm doing the message this Shabbat, what's the message for our group that's going to be there? And in an instant, God brought me to Judges 6. I was walking. I had no Bible. I had nothing to write with. I'm walking. I say, God, I thank you. I pray that it's seared in my memory for when I get to my desk that I can pray over this and allow you to do the work that needs to be done. But instantly, came to me just like that. And so, that's the reason I'm doing it. Because we're together, and as the caliber of talent that's here right now, we don't have to, nobody else has to come right here, sitting in this room, to change the world.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You're it.
Hallelujah.
You have the ability to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. You have that ability.
Thank you, Father.
So notice what he says. And Yehovah turns to him and says, go in the strength of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?
Yes.
And he said to him, O Yehovah, with what do I save Israel? He's legitimately asking this. What do I save Israel?
Yes.
See, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. The weakest.
Yes.
You think, oh, right here's where God's going to break down and start crying. Because you done told him your sad story so long, he can't hear it no more. God's going to break down and cry. You think that's going to happen? God, you don't understand. I did this. I did that. I messed up. I said this. I don't have the education. I really can't read as good as... You got to quit comparing yourself to somebody else.
Yes.
You just do what God called you to do. And you be the person God called you to be. And you deliver the message with everything that's in you and watch the anointing do the rest. Remember, you provide the administration. He provides the anointing. Yokes are coming off as I'm speaking today. How do I know that? That's what I pray leading up to this service. Burdens are being removed as I'm speaking today. How do I know that? Because that's what I pray and believe God for before I got up here. It's happening right now. The yoke is being destroyed. The burdens are being removed because you're being free to be what God called you to be. To do what God called you to do. Sometimes I ask the congregation, is this helping you? Because if it's not helping you, I'll stop right now. And I only need a half of amen to keep going. So I'm not afraid to ask it. I'm going to get one person. One time as I asked somebody, I said, man, I got one more scripture to read. Can somebody give me 5 minutes? Raise your hand. About 15 people raised their hand. I counted 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. I said, thank you very much. I'm least in my father's house. And Yehovah said to him, because I am with you. Said it again. Because I am with you. You want to know how you're going to get this done? Because I am with you. You know how, why I know and I can speak confident about who you are? Because he's with you. You don't need the pastor with you. You need him with you. The pastor needs him with him. You understand? We need him with us. Whenever you go and visit your family that's struggling, you need him with you. When you go to the hospital, you need him with you. When you're on the job, you need him with you. When you come to Shabbat, you need him with you. It doesn't matter where you are. You need him.
Amen. Yes.
And Yehovah said to him, because I am with you, you shall strike the Midianites as one man.
Hallelujah.
You might be the weakest in your clan, but all I need is one man.
Yes, one.
So our excuse days are over after today.
Hallelujah.
We're going to go back to our home church and we're going to say, sign me up, Pastor.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
All God needs is one man.
Amen.
And it takes one person to cause a breakout. I mean, I take off running, I'm going to get a couple go with me. I'm just, it's going to happen. It only takes one. Only takes one. You know, I still have a few more verses to read, so I didn't want to cause the stir right now. And he said to him, please, if I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who are speaking with me.
Yes.
So not only do we need to know ourselves, we need to know who's speaking to us. Sometimes we're unfamiliar with how God speaks.
Know the voice, know the
voice. And you need to know that. He said, my sheep
know
my voice. There's no ambiguity. He said, they know my voice. And so we have to understand that. If you're struggling with it, read more about him. Read more about, turn the page and keep reading about how he says his character is. You got to know that it's him speaking to you. Because if not, you never do anything by faith. You never step out and do what God's called you to do. So we have to do that. And so he says, please do not move away from here until I come to you and bring my offering and set it before you. How many ready to give your offering?
Yes.
What's the offering we first have to give? Do you not know that you and I are the temple of the Most High?
Yes.
Do you not that we're to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable? Don't we know that? And so we listen. This is something. When he says we, anybody can do it. Every person that stood up, you have the ability to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Notice that Gideon. First of all, we can tell that he finally figured out who he's speaking to. And who's speaking to him? Because Gideon went in and prepared a young goat, unleavened bread, and an ephah of fine flour, an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree. Where? Under the terebinth tree.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's the place of covenant. That's a place of power and authority.
Yes.
We learned this at the beginning. Why? It's the olive and alignment. So the olive, we know that's the ox, the strength, and the lime represents the shepherd's staff. You combine them together, you can have authority in your words. You can have authority when you minister. When you're ministering to people, you're going to have authority. And you got to have authority because we're up against it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood,
but
against principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. You can't go in there and be passive. There's no passive. You can't witness being passive, and you can't preach being passive.
Yes, sir.
Either you know what you're talking about or you don't. If you don't, sit down.
Hallelujah.
Give yourself some more time. Let somebody speak with authority. They might be one of the last ones to stand up. Maybe they have the authority to speak it.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
Gideon went on and prepared this, gave it under the terebinth tree and presented it. And the messenger of Elohim said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the messenger of Elohim put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire went up from the rock. How powerful is that?
Yes.
Fire goes up from the rock. You know you've been tapped into something. Consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the messenger of Jehovah went from his sight. And when Gideon saw that he was a messenger of Jehovah, Gideon said, O my master Jehovah, for I have seen a messenger of Jehovah face to face. And Jehovah said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You do not die.
Yes.
Think about that. What an encounter. And Gideon built a slaughter place there and called you and there to call to Jehovah and called it Jehovah Shalom. To this day, it is still an offer of the Abiezrites. So we see something fascinating here. And the same night it came to be that Jehovah said to him, take the young bull of your father and the second bull of the 7-year-old, and you shall throw down the slaughter places of Baal. that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. And you shall build a slaughter place to Jehovah, Elohim, on top of this rock in an all new way, and shall take the second bull and offer an ascending offering with the wood of the image which you cut down. And Gideon took 10 men. Again, 10 is a very important number in Scripture.
Yes.
He took 10 men. Well, I was in Nepal on the Rapti River. We were baptizing 800 people. And when the Lord gave me the number 10, the beaches of the Rapti is just stones. It's just little white stones about yay big. Some of them a little bit bigger. It's just littered the whole beach. And I look and there's 800 people in line, standing in line. There's lines of 4 and 5 just standing there, ready to walk into the Rapti River to be baptized. New believers coming out of, since birth, Hinduism, all sorts of worship to all kinds of gods.
Yes.
Thousands of different gods. We're not there to preach against the gods. We're there to deliver the message of the kingdom.
Yes.
We never had to talk about one god while we was there.
Yes.
Not one. We just went and presented the God that's true.
Yes.
And they said, well, that one, none of our gods do that. None of our gods say this. None of our gods includes us in the family. We want to switch.
Hallelujah.
So 800 people. After the baptism, I'm standing there with the pastor. I look down and there's a stone, you know, just stuck out to me. So I picked it up. I think I still have it somewhere in the building. I'm not sure where. It may be in the Paul display there. But it had, if you cut the lines in it, it'd make 10 pieces. So I said, that's interesting. And I was always a rock collector when I was a kid. You know, if I went somewhere as a kid, I picked up a pebble and stuck it in my pocket. I got screamed at, little Jesse, you left them rocks in your pocket again. I'm washing clothes. Come on, come on. Washing rocks makes noise.
Yeah.
That was me. And so I just had a thing for, I mean, it didn't matter what, if it had a funny shape or color to it, I picked it up and stuck in my pocket. I had more rocks. You know, it was cheap, though. My fetish with rocks was cheap. They didn't cost anything. My dad was all for it. Yeah. You know, take him to the store and tell him, go to the rock pile right there, get you something. It didn't cost anything. But I took this rock and come home and I was looking at this rock. And I told the pastor, I said, you know, this is significant. This number 10. I'm going to go home and study this out. I want to understand about this 10. It represents a new beginning.
Yes.
And we was experiencing 800 people have a brand new beginning right there that day. And it's a new start. It's a fresh start.
Yes.
This number 10. And so he told Gideon, he said, take 10 men from among the servants and did as Jehovah said to him. And it came to be because he feared his father's household, the men of the city too much to do it by day. He did it by night. Uh-huh. Listen, I don't care when you do it. Wherever you are, find a spot to do it, but you got to do it. To not do it doesn't fit the text. If you can't do it by day, you do it by night. You got to rise up like Nicodemus.
Yes.
He's trying to find out who this teacher is. He couldn't go by day because he feared, he struggled. So he went by night. The master says, how can you be a teacher and not know this stuff? So simple things that we're not delivering the message. How could we not be more advanced because we don't know who we are?
Yes.
We see ourselves as less. We see ourselves as insufficient. I can't speak well. You're going to speak. Everybody speaks.
Yes.
I'm sure if we need to stop and have prayer, everybody speaks here, right?
Yes.
So you can speak.
Hallelujah.
So when you sharing with a fellow in the job, you're speaking to him. It's just your language has to shift into the kingdom realm, and then now you're talking about the good news. When that happens, it's you're taking the same vessel with the same speech, but the message is different.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you don't have a different message until the message about who you are changes.
Yes.
And so we had some ladies in the church. They pick up on this stuff. I'm sharing the introduction to Shemot about names matter. Your name matters. Knowing who you are matters. Sometimes we want to change our name because we want to be careful how you self-anoint.
All right.
Yes.
Come on. Self-anoint. Yes, sir.
The first person who knew more about you when you were born was your mama.
Yes.
Just leave it what your mama said. And then study about who you are, what your mama said, before you self-anoint to make something that you're not ready for. You're not even ready for you yet. Don't be somebody else. There's a voice that whispers in the hidden places of your life. Who are you to carry this calling? Look at your past. You're not qualified. You're not righteous enough. You are not from the right family. If you didn't hear all this, you told yourself these things. The sad thing is when you believe it. When you got saved, you don't think he saved all of you? And living up to your name matters. I did a little small study titled it The Two Micahs. Micah, one who is, the name means that you're showing somebody else who Yah is.
Yes.
You're introducing Yah. The first Micah, he got himself all wrapped up into idolatry. Now, is idolatry testifying about Yah? No.
No,
sir. The second commandment tells us that. Mm-hmm. In the second, we learned that very early on in the 10 words on number 2, that God's not going to tolerate idolatry. But Micah says, I'm going to have my God made out of silver.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get a shoulder garment to make it look good. Now, he stole the shoulder idea from what God distributes. The shoulder garment was for the high priest. He stole that. Not literally stole it, but he made one like it so he can now say, look, it's really God. My silver God is really God. Then he couldn't take that. He said he hired him a Levite priest to wear the shoulder garment, to parade the silver God around. And then Dan comes along and steals it from him. Listen, if your God can be stolen, he ain't much of a God.
Yes, sir.
If you go around talking about my God, you stole my God. What kind of God is the God that can be stolen? If you got a God, you can lock him up and take him out when you want him.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You might want to question what kind of God you got.
Yes, sir.
Ain't nobody stealing my God.
Amen.
Ain't nobody locking him up. It doesn't matter if we all get mad and quit today. He's still the Most High. And we have to figure that out early, because once you see that, he's your Father.
Yes.
At least that's what we call him when we pray. You know, we say, Father, we thank you. We call him Father, but we're not acting like his kids.
Come on.
We don't even know who we are. So if I was taking... They call you Michael, right?
Yes, sir.
Michael.
Yes, sir.
And I had somebody do his name for him before he leaves. Right. Somebody going to do your name.
All right.
Minister Johnson, what's your first name?
Lewis.
Lewis. We're going to have somebody do Lewis. Give it to you before you leave.
Hallelujah.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. And you look at that and you say, I ain't doing none of that.
All right.
Come on.
Would it help you to change? If you walked in the foyer, this wonderful lady's here, worked hard. I'm preaching and they're doing stuff behind the scenes. I don't ask for that. They're just doing it. I come in last night and I go, wow, who did this? It's like somebody broke in our church and started decorating. I mean, it's beautiful. So every person in our church, their name is done on the wall. If you take some time to look at that. And they look at that and see those names, see what God expects from you. It's done from a Hebrew perspective. It's showing you what each letter means in your name. And am I living up to my name? Am I actually doing that? And so we want to be living up to our name. We don't. So the second Micah comes along, the prophet Micah, many years later. And he lets people know who Yah is.
Yes.
Two Micahs, same name. One lives up to his name, the other doesn't.
All right.
Now, could the first one live up to his name? Absolutely. First, he had to repent of his idolatry, because God don't tolerate idolatry. He has to repent and steer completely away from idolatry and ask God to forgive him and walk right. He could have. His name said he could, but he never lived up to it. So Dan takes 600 armed men and comes and steals Micah's idols. Sets them up. Dan sets them up to worship. And how do you know Dan is the only tribe other than Ephraim that's excluded out of Revelation 7?
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Boy, I need to tell you why.
Come on.
God doesn't tolerate idolatry.
Does not.
So we read the tribes of the 12,000 from each tribe, but Dan's gone.
Gone.
You're going to go back and find out why Dan, what happened to Dan. I can tell you what happened to Dan. Dan had in his own mind, I don't like the way God is being displayed. I'm going to display it my way.
Yeah.
I don't like what they're saying about God. I'm going to say it the way I want to say it. You don't get to decide that. You have no authority to change what God said about himself.
Hallelujah.
None whatsoever. We have to take what he said about himself, receive it, and then move on. When you might not like it, you're going to get used to it eventually.
Yeah.
Just like folks, listen, folks got used to what we do here. We didn't start out this way. We started a regular Sunday church, and I was pastor for quite some time. I was pastor 18 years when Katrina hit. That gives you an idea.
Right.
And when Katrina hit, I already had the prophecy of where God wanted to take us, but I wasn't there yet. I was on my way, but I was walking a little bit slower than God liked.
Yeah.
You know, I figured if I go slow enough, he might change his mind. So sometimes I was walking like this. I wasn't even moving. I was in motion, but I wasn't going nowhere.
Hallelujah.
And then God will speed you up.
Yes,
and God gave a revelation to us. He says,
"Hallelujah, thank you."
The question was, who are you? You shall be called repairs of the breach. Restore places to dwell in.
Hallelujah.
That's who we are. Well, we never saw that about ourselves. We were so busy just trying to get through it, we had no room to extend ourselves out to other people.
Yes.
But God said, that's who you are. Once that happened, we kicked it in gear, and then we wind up where we are. We wind up here. Not because I went to some class, signed up on the internet for somebody. I had an encounter with God. God said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed.
Hallelujah.
Once you see who I am, the rest is going to fall in place.
Yeah.
You'll figure out how long you've been all those years.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to fix, don't worry, I'm not going to throw you away. I'm going to fix it for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to use you to tell more people about this than you ever told any other places. Now, I got a lot of people. This thing got to pack up a bunch more times.
Yes.
I've been all over the world and seen God touch people's lives because by his grace, he extends himself.
Yes.
He's touching people's lives. He's taking them out of darkness into the light. Sometimes you come into the light and it's not all the light.
Yes.
But you're in the light. It's better than darkness.
Hallelujah.
And then God starts to take you on this journey.
Yes.
And he's allowed me to share what we're doing here all over the world. And I appreciate God for doing that. But what if that voice is not true? The voice that tells you, you know, you're not qualified, you're not righteous enough, you come from the wrong family. What if that voice is not true? Only a contradiction. Because when the angel of Jehovah appeared to Gideon, heaven spoke a completely different identity than Gideon's reality. What was his reality? I'm afraid. I'm just trying to feed my kids.
Yes.
So I'm not going to thresh wheat like you're supposed to, so the wind's there and I'm visible. Remember, the wheat is threshed on the hill.
Yes.
If you've never seen that in real time, it's something to see. You go to Nepal, just look for the hills. They're threshing rice. It's all on the hill. Everything. You go to Nepal, there it is, on hills. It's not in the valley. There's no wind. So they have to have the wind to help them. They don't have, you know, when you're living in a third world country, you got to use nature. There's no machines doing it for them.
Yes.
They need the wind. They need to blow. They're out there. There's the women out there. They're tossing these big baskets in the air and catching the rice. The chaff is being blown away. You see it in real time.
Hallelujah.
The oxen is spreading out the grain for them. Team oxen. Now, from the Philippines, you've seen this stuff. You know what I'm talking about. If you've never been there, you haven't seen it. We talk about it, but you see it live. There it is. Man, this actually happens. Yeah, that's how people live. It takes a little longer. See, we're in machinery here in the Western world. Everything's fast. But when do we want it? Now. We want it right now. But when the angel of Yahweh appeared to Gideon, heaven spoke a completely different identity than Gideon's reality. God's everlasting love. I'm with you. Even in Gideon's fear. You remember the prophet Elijah? He just called fire down from heaven. Defeated the prophets of Baal.
Yes.
And then one woman scared him to death. You have to ask yourself, how is that possible?
Come on.
Let me tell you how it happened. His mind was tired. Why do we need everybody standing when I ask for the ministers? Because if you put the weight on one person, they're just like you. They get tired.
Yes.
And if the mind is tired, it opens you up to lies. One woman scared him to death.
Yes.
And he went off and found himself under a broom tree asking God to do what? Take his life.
Yes.
But I thank God when he's with you. We don't read that God came there and rebuked Elijah. He didn't rebuke him. You know what he did? He begged bread for him.
Yes.
He encouraged him. He said, I know why you got in this position. I know why you want me to take it up. Because you believe what one woman said. She didn't come to him with an army.
No.
You know, we can kind of excuse that behavior. If an army showed up, she just says, I'm going to kill you. He run off scared. Because he was worn out in his mind. We don't need the first group of ministers standing. We need everybody standing. Because people get worn out when you don't do your job. And everybody's got a job to do. Everybody has a job to do. Not some, just some. Every person in this room, you're in the ministry.
Yes.
Every one of you. You're anointed for that ministry.
Yes.
You understand that? Anointed for it. Now you got to provide the administration.
Yes.
You have to turn the television off sometime.
Come on.
And pick this up.
Yes.
You have to. If you don't get familiar with the text, it's going to tell on you when you get up to speak. And if you get up, remember where you get up. You might get up at your mama's house, at your daddy's house, at the kinfolk's house. You're up somewhere. Maybe it's at the ball field. Wherever it is, on the job, you're up.
Yes.
Me and my wife, her sister's been in the hospital. And we was there, her sister's daughter said something interesting that kind of caught me. We was getting ready to leave, she said, you know, Aunt Charlotte, y'all the only thing we know about God.
Come on.
We ain't never been to church. We don't have no pastor. Y'all it. I thought about that all the way home. And I said, God, have we lived that we can point them in the right direction? Have we said when we point them in the right direction? Because everybody, there's people looking at you who have no idea.
Hallelujah.
Not to mention your immediate responsibility is your little ones that you're responsible for.
Yes.
You are that voice. The first voice they hear. You're the first one who sings a song to them. What song are you singing? You're the first one to read a scripture to them. What scripture are you reading? You're it. We're all on deck here. We have a responsibility. Romans 8 says this. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to this? If Elohim is for us, who is against us? We got to encourage Gideon. It's okay we encourage Gideon today. Truly, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up on behalf of us all, how shall she not along with him freely give us all else? Who shall bring any charge against Elohim's chosen ones? It is Elohim who is declaring right. You know, the enemy is going to bring a charge against you, just like the media was bringing a charge against Gideon. But God came and declared it right.
Yes.
And he's declaring it right for us today. There's absolutely nothing that we can't do and accomplish in this house right now. Absolutely nothing. So we see this happening throughout this. Who is he who's condemning? It is Messiah who died and furthermore has also risen up, who is also at the right hand of Elohim, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall pressure? Distress? Persecution? Scarcity of food? Nakedness? Or danger? Or sword? As it has been written. As it has been what? Written. That means if it's written, you should know about it.
Hallelujah.
We all got one of these. If not, you can get one.
Still available.
You can buy them all day long. You can get the cheap version, the expensive version, whatever version you want. You can buy one. You got to know what's written. And some of us have one, we still don't know what's written.
Come on.
We have one, but we haven't picked it up in a while.
Yeah.
You're in the ministry. Let me tell you, if it was your turn this morning, you'd have picked it up.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I told all our guys, 3 minutes before service started this morning, I said, I want every one of you to share this morning a little something in the second portion. Now, I don't know what they got to do. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility was to make sure they're ready.
Yes.
And you don't know that until you say it's your turn. Maybe we just randomly pick from the back row and say, you up. You don't have to preach what I'm preaching, but you ought to have a word. You ought to have something. What encouraged you yesterday? What encouraged you the day before? Tell me about that, because it's going to lift me up. Read a verse of scripture. Tell me something, but don't be silent. The enemy wants to silence you. You're well able to do these things. It has been written for your sake. We're killed all day long. We're walking as sheep for the slaughter. But in all this, we are more than overcomers through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor messenger, nor principality, nor power, neither present nor future, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Elohim, which is in Messiah Yeshua our Master. Nothing can separate us. Now we have this, we have a conflict, this constant conflict that we see in Gideon. He's hiding, he's in trouble, and he lets his environment say things. I'm in poverty. I'm oppressed. I'm fearing. But what does heaven say? You are mighty, brave one. What does heaven say? You are mighty, brave one. So there's two things being told to you. One, you're telling yourself what you can't do. I'm not a good speaker. Listen, you're looking at the worst speaker you ever met in your life.
Yeah.
I couldn't, my mama just attempted to look at me because we had to get up and sing. Oh, I went to shaking. And I'm crying. I cried in more church services, not because I felt God. I cried because, man, all I wanted to know was afraid. And so I understood my mama go, boy, I need to dry it up, get up there, sing, whatever someone was singing, you know, get through the tears. You're singing. I'm so glad she did that.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad she didn't say, it's okay. I know you don't want to do it. Maybe that's not you. I'm so glad she made me get up there every time.
Yeah.
And so now I'm grown. I graduate high school, and I'm grown, and I'm still don't. I forget, they came and asked me, maybe you ought to teach the young adult class. Why? Because you're a young adult. I know, but I'm the youngest young adult. There's a whole slew of them here. Let one of them do it. No, I really feel like maybe you need to do it. So I start teaching the young adult class. Let me tell you, when I knew I had to teach, whoo, man, talk about sweat. It was on me. It wouldn't get off me. And so, but it made me read. It made me read. It made me pray. It forced me to, because I got to speak. I did that for about 3 months, and then God moved us. Like moved us. Like gone. Church basically almost folded. So I'm praying, saying, God, could you just send us a pastor who won't leave, who will stay with the hard times when the shrimp are running, when the crabs are biting. God, when the oil's pumping, they'll stay no matter what. If it goes down, they stay. If a storm comes, they'll stay. Don't matter. I'm asking him that. And then I'm running out of words to ask God. I'm like sitting there real quiet. And all of a sudden, that inner voice says, what's wrong with you? You've been asking me to give you something. I already did. You're it. You're on deck. Oh, God. You got the wrong address. You got the wrong Jesse. I'm telling you, God, I don't like speaking. I was in young adults. I was in a little room with the door closed. And nobody else was in there but us. I got comfortable with that. Now I got to be out there? No way. There ain't no way. So I reached over and grabbed the Bible and put it in front of me and started flipping through the pages.
Hallelujah.
I'm reading. Man, I ain't never seen this before. Reading. Wow, I ain't ever heard this preach, reading. Wow, stuff's full of stuff. A lot of stuff to talk about here. My wife walks in. I said, honey, guess what? We're in the ministry. She went, I know you're joking. You better get up, boy, come eat this food. I said, babe, I'm serious. I'm crying. And she said, oh, are you serious? Ain't not here. I went to town one time. I leave you home. I go to town with my girlfriend. I come back and you a preacher? There ain't no way. But here we are 40 years later, still doing what God called us to do. Because God wants you to know who you are. When you figure that out, you start to, all the stuff that I put on my life, I put it on me. I started declaring this. I was in remedial reading. I couldn't read good. And if I read, I couldn't tell you anything I read. I couldn't tell you anything. It just was not there. My brain would shut down. So my mama put me in special ed. Because that's where I needed to be. One-on-one. I don't know what I was distracted. I don't know what it was, but I wasn't working. This wasn't working. And so, you know what I'm telling God? God, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? I barely, they let me graduate. They let me get out of here. They said, man, he's going to be with the little kids in a little while. So, you know, I've been in this spot, but I realized something. When you realize who God says you are, it changes everything about you. When you recognize what God, he don't just save you so you can make heaven. That's not the end goal. He saves you and gives you a platform so you can share with the people to bring in the kingdom of God. He gives you the platform. And so realize that you matter. You matter. Everyone here, you're special to God, and you have a special, unique anointing about your life. But you have to administer that so it can go out and touch the masses.
Hallelujah.
Now, one thing we got to do is focus on. We got to focus, right? Let me read one more passage. I'm going to try to get out of here soon. I can keep going. I'm passing up tons and tons of stuff. Because I got to get this to you, this part right here. We have to master our focus. If we don't master our focus, we're going to be in trouble. It's going to be difficult for you to make it if you don't master your focus. Very difficult. Elohim calls by purpose. There's a purpose for you. He don't just call you. There's a purpose behind it.
Yes.
Not performance. You know, as years go on, you get better at teaching or preaching, whatever it is. It's a natural thing. If you've done anything for 40 years, you're going to be better at it.
Yes.
But he didn't call you for performance. He called you for purpose. The purpose is bigger than us. You are doing what you're doing. You have to see it. You have to own it. You don't own it because you're trying to match some performance for somebody else, and then you compare yourself to other people. No. You don't try to do what I'm doing. You do what you need to do.
Yes.
You got to figure out the purpose of where you are. Your purpose matters. There's a purpose you were born in the family you're born into. You didn't choose that.
Yes.
You didn't choose that. You were born in the family you were born in. You may not like them, but it's just tough. They're part of you.
Yes.
It might not be all nice, but that was choice was made for you. You ever figured out, if you figure out what the purpose is, you can turn that whole thing around?
Hallelujah.
What's the purpose of it? And so you have to figure that out. You might be the only one saved in your entire family. There's the purpose. Now it's time to get busy. It's time to administer. It's time to get busy. The anointing is there, but you got to administer. And so what we see happening, I want to read this story to you that's very important about focusing. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. We'll start reading with verse 28. And Kepha answered him and said, Master, if it is you, command me come to you on the water.
Yes.
Now he's seeing something that's a phenomenon to him. The master's walking on the water. He's in the boat, the master's on the water, and there's a storm. That's what Kepha's seeing. If it's you, bid me come. See, we ask God, are you sure if this is you, God? Yes. If it's you, I want 3 pink elephants to walk in the back door now. I mean, you can get yourself out of anything.
Yes.
Just make the question hard, you know. Because we don't want to do it.
Yes.
But Kepha says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Now, that's the same as the, you know, walking on the water. It's like 3 pink elephants walking in here. If you don't believe that, the water's right behind us. Who's first? Kepha says, bid me come. And when he saw and he said, come, and when Kepha had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Yeshua.
Yes.
Where did he come out of the boat? This, I like to call this the boat of security. It's safe. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, if you're familiar with boats, the boat's going to have a gunnel goes around.
Right.
So it comes up about to your knees.
Right.
And, you know, if you slip, you're still in the boat.
Yeah.
You're not going over the edge. protection. It's not as, you know, you're in the boat, the boat might be moving, but you're not out there in the storm.
Yeah.
There it is. The storm, you're looking at the wind, the waves. Yeshua's out there, but you're in the boat of security. But what did Kepha do? He got out of the boat of security. So he's working on it, right? So sometimes you do that. You get out, you know, are you going to pastor? Okay, God, I'm a pastor. That's what I had to do. I had to get out the boat of security.
Yes.
Got on the water. And I wasn't out there a second. What I saw was how difficult and storm. That's what I saw.
Yes.
Now, before I got out of the boat, I saw the master.
Yes.
But when I got out there, first thing I saw was the storm. You got to focus. You got to master your focus. When you do anything for God, you have to master your focus. If not, you're going to be starting and quitting your whole life.
Yes.
With everything. If you don't master your focus, I don't care what it is. If you're going to go to school, master your focus. Whatever you're doing in life, you have to master your focus. Especially if you're going to be in the kingdom of God working as ministers, you have to master your focus.
Yeah.
And so Kepha now, he's on the water. Now he's in it. But when he saw the wind was strong, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Master, save me.
Yes.
And immediately Yeshua stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, O you of little belief, why did you doubt?
Yes.
When they came to the boat, the wind ceased. What was the wind there for? Just a lesson.
Yeah.
It wasn't teaching Yeshua anything.
No.
Because he had authority over the wind.
Hallelujah.
The lesson was for Kepha.
Yes.
The lesson was there for him. It was to teach him, Kepha, you're Kepha.
Yes.
Upon this rock, I build my church.
Yes.
The gates of Hades do not prevail against it. You got to understand who you are.
Yes.
And I'm going to put you in this test. This test is, you're going to feel all the fear. You're going to feel your blood drain out your body when you focus on the wind. Because the situation you're in is bigger than you. This is bigger than me. But I'm not looking at the wind there. I got my eyes on the master.
Yes.
And he's taking me right through this message because he's with me.
Yes.
You understand that? Just like Gideon. And so Gideon had to understand it. You got to master your focus. If you don't do it, you'll start out. This is going to inspire you. You're going to go home with an inspiration. You pull your notes out. And you say, oh, yeah, I'm inspired. I'm ready.
Yes.
But then the winds, you're going to meet the wind.
Oh, coming.
I'm telling you, the storm coming.
Yes, it's coming.
When you can praise him through the storm, now you're tapping into something.
Hallelujah.
Now you're realizing something.
Hallelujah.
Because you don't see the storm, you're still seeing him.
Hallelujah.
Well, you got to see him. It's very important. Now, I didn't understand this. I had to learn this along the way. When we got back after Katrina, we pulled up. We couldn't even pull in the drive. There was debris, so much debris you couldn't pull in. We had the front building was the original church building, and we pulled up close, get off the road, and it was like, okay, I didn't sign up for this.
Yes. Come
on. So we go walking around. You didn't have to worry about keys. There were no doors. So we're just walking in and out of buildings where there's no door. Just walking in them, walking out of them. Because the stuff's going. The walls are going.
Yeah.
And so I come up in here and we see the mess. And we, you know what? I'm just thinking, God, I don't know what to do here. So we go up the levee and there's a big gaping hole there. When the levee broke, came through this panel right here, this panel by the baptistry, came through there, was an office there. It took that office completely out, ripped through two bathrooms, many ladies' bathrooms, hit the next office, that was my office, took it out, took all the chairs, there was 250 chairs in here, and put them through a single door, and there's some of them a quarter of a mile away.
Yes,
chairs like you're sitting on.
Yes, sir.
Gone. We thought somebody robbed us before the storm hit. How do you get that many chairs going out of a single door? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
But they were gone. We had tables and chairs, round tables and chairs in the old building, brand new white round tables and light chairs. We just renovated that entire building, put a brand new commercial kitchen in there, ready to go for our cornelia. They were going. We found chairs a half a mile away and trees 20 feet in the air.
Yeah.
So we went around collecting stuff. You know, you're trying to put it back together. And we know, you know, you're trying to make yourself feel a little good. You're saving something, right? So I'm up there in the lobby, and I come to the wall. I mean, say, God, there ain't no way you can fix this.
Yes.
I'm just telling you how I feel.
Can't be.
We're done. It's over with. We went to 30 houses. We had 30 families in the church when Katrina hit. 30 families. There was not a house one we found. They were gone. Like, okay, you can't fix this. This is bigger than us. We got no money. How do you start over after 18 years? And I got up there and God said, well, listen, son, position is everything. You don't give up position for nothing, for no reason. Now, I didn't know at the time what he meant. I'm learning as I go. I knew position meant position like a, you know, a certain area, like geographic area here. But I didn't know it meant me.
Yes.
Are you telling me you're giving up your position? You ain't the pastor no more because you got a little trouble here?
Come on.
You ain't the speaker no more? Come on, get your lesson out. Where's your 5-point lesson? Get it out. What are you doing? So I got whipped up there on that levee. I took a real good licking. He said, you don't give position up for nothing and for no reason. I called you. If you want a ladder in your life, you get to the spot I told you to get and you stay and let me till I speak.
Yes.
See, we want ladders in our life. We want access, but we don't want to get to the spot.
Yes.
We don't want to get to the spot of who we are or what we're all about. You're better than with how you've been acting. Do you understand that? You're better than that. You're smarter than that. You have the skill to do it. But we sit in our, we cower up and say, well, you know, we try to dread wheat at the wine press. We have no room.
Yeah.
We're in a bucket. If you ever seen a wine press, you got yourself in a bucket, you have no room to work.
Yes.
You're scared, you're afraid. He said, position's everything. You got to realize who you are. You got to realize where you are, and you do it, God. Now, listen. I could have walked. I could have used every excuse and kind of took my licking, and you know what? Stayed sad, stayed broken, stayed mad, because I was mad.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, God, you know, you want us to do this. How are we doing this? You said within 7 years you'd be unrecognizable. Then it hit me. Okay. You right about that. We are unrecognizable. I don't know who we are or what we are right now.
Yeah.
But then God starts putting things back together.
Yes, he does.
He starts wooing people's heart.
Come on.
People start coming from all over the world to minister in this area. And our church was the first place set up to be a beacon of hope in this entire area. We housed Red Cross, United Way, Salvation Army, all the big names, all the big names, we housed them here, let them do their do whatever they wanted to do here.
Yeah.
And we ran a rebuild program for 6 years. And it was probably the toughest years of my life. Because
yeah.
The whole time we're doing it, I'm still asking God, well, I don't understand this. But it sure feels nice to be here this morning.
Hallelujah.
It sure feels nice to get a chance to share with you how important you are in God's kingdom. You matter. You count. I don't care when anybody counts you out. I want to tell you, you count and you matter. And your words are powerful. You administer correctly, the anointing's coming. You're anointed to do what you do. You're anointed to be a mama. You're anointed to be a daddy. You're anointed to work on the job you got. You're anointed to help in the church. You're anointed to clean. Listen, if you're not anointed to clean, you're not going to clean right. There's got to be an anointing there. Some say, well, I don't need anointing to clean. Yeah, you need anointing. Trust me, you need it. So we serve a great God. He's so good to us. So I'm sure they're getting ready. Are they ready? They need another hour? Okay. All right. So we'll take our break here.
Don't stop, Brother Jeff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to stop. I know about the anointing. And when he says, okay, I take my cue. He ain't got to tell me twice. But I want you to take in what was said today.
Yes.
Understand. Quit saying about yourself, you're the weakest. And it doesn't matter what clan. Do you think it matters to God what color you are?
No.
Where you were born?
No.
What family you were born? It doesn't matter to God.
No.
You are special people. You're special.
Yes.
We're royal people, a peculiar people. We've been designed for what we're doing today. You've been designed for what you're doing because you're special to God. Now, let me tell you what I want you to do. When you get home, find the biggest man in your house and you walk up to him and say, you're special to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at yourself and tell yourself.
Yes.
That, see, you've been ducking when you pass that mirror. Quit ducking.
Yes.
I mean, do your hair, do something, but you got to quit ducking it. You got to realize who you are. You're special to God. So I think Lewis and Michael,
yes,
sir. You're going to get your names given to you here shortly. And you can do any name. Don't have to change your name. But I got a crazy name. That's okay. You know, some people get used to nickname. We're not talking about nicknames. My nickname is Bosco. You know the chocolate, Bosco,
yeah.
Chocolate? How many remember Bosco chocolate?
Yes.
You buy the stuff stirred in the milk. It was called Bosco. who? Somebody raise your hand and tell me you know about Bosco chocolate. Way down here, we bought stuff. Stuff lasts longer down here, I guess. We didn't get the advanced stuff. When I was a kid, you get Bosco chocolate. You stir it in your milk, whatever, make hot chocolate. And my uncle, he started to call me Pasquale. Pasquale, I'm not sure what that is, and I didn't ask. And then Bosco kind of stuck. And so that was what you hear. Sometimes you hear my mom still today, she say, Boss, come here. And you stop everything and go. Because Boss means now. So, but you'll hear my dad sometimes, but most of the time, that kind of faded away because sometimes our nickname hangs on us for a long time. And some of our nicknames came along when we weren't right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't have to preach that. Everybody know that.
Yes, sir.
And it kind of tags on with you. But I'm not interested in your nickname. I don't care what they called you. But I'm interested in your name because God's interested in it. The whole book of Shemot means names.
Yes.
The whole book. Not a portion of the book. The entire book is Shemot. Names. Because God looks at names because names matter. It matters about what destiny you're going to take, what purpose you're going to take. And so we'll see this. We'll see y'all's names, what it means. I'm sure the ladies have done them already. And we'll get that to you. Do I have that available now? The names. 5 minutes?